Lord Jesus. We just pray you, Holy Spirit, would point us to you as worshipers, as we focus. You are everything to us. You are our God and Father, and you are rich toward us, and we need to know that. You are loving us, and we want to know that. You care for us, and we want to know that and worship and renew our mind and fill our hearts with your Spirit and anoint these thoughts today. We need to be filled, fed, set upon a rock higher than ourselves. We need to see Jesus. We need it. We need comfort, we need reproof, encouragement, exhortation, we need wisdom. Pour it on, give us wisdom. Drop your wisdom on us, Lord. Yeah, fill us with your wisdom and mind. We are in troublous times. I just heard of a brother this morning who overdosed, and he survived. Thank you. But he comes here. He comes here. And he needs help. And we help, we pray for anyone else in any of these categories, Father. We are not here to condemn, but to save. Jesus said, I came not to destroy, I didn't come to condemn, but to save, to give grace and forgive and restore. And that brother, he's got an interesting history. We pray, Father, for him this morning and anyone, every one of us, Lord, every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Hey, praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Sit down. No, I'm joking. You may be seated. No, what happened? It just came over me. What happened? Something from my childhood or something. I don't know. Okay. Okay, so, wow. Okay, turn in your Bible to Revelation chapter 22, please. Revelation 22. This morning, I was studying about the priesthood, the last few days, weeks. I study all the time. I'm always studying. I love it. And I just pray a lot and feed on the Word and all the time. I mean, and these pastors do that too. And we just have this way of thinking. We could say it somehow is on our forehead. Turn to your neighbor and say, what's on your forehead? Turn to your neighbor and just say, what's that on your forehead? Is that a mole? What's on your forehead? Okay, look at this verse in me, Revelation 22. Congratulations to the Canadian who won the U.S. Open, of Romanian descent. Virgil over here, Romanian, is rejoicing. I don't know if he knows that, but a fellow countryman won the U.S. Open. Yesterday, amazing woman, she did it. Look at chapter 22, verse 3 and 4. There shall be no more curse. Hallelujah. Is that a memory verse? Let's say it together. And there shall be no more curse. Wow, let's do it again. And there shall be no more curse. And three times. And there shall be no more curse. There shall be no more curse. And there shall be no more curse. Hallelujah. Horrible. The curse that came on us in Genesis chapter 3 because of sin. Death came from sin. Losing things. losing the garden, losing our innocence. Sometimes we could say losing our mind, losing our orientation, losing our focus. I've told you this story. I was windsurfing off of Cape Cod one summer, some years ago, and I was out, I don't know, a quarter of a mile off in the water from the shore, and my wife was on the shore. And I went out a little too far, maybe half a mile, or I don't really know how far out I was. And the fog rolled in. A fog rolled in, and I was in thick cloud. And I'm on my board, floating in the water, and I don't know where I am. I'm in a cloud. Now I thought, well, if I sail that way, I might end up in Ireland. But I don't know where I am right now. I'm out in the ocean, yeah. Looking for shark fins. Have you ever been lost? Have you been lost? Have you really ever been lost? Wow. Wow. So I'm waiting out there, and I'm kneeling on the board, and I'm saying prayers, and I'm confessing my sin. And I confess more sin than I ever have confessed in my life. Sins I've never committed before. And after a while, 20 minutes or something, the fog lifted. I could see the land. Yeah, so I praise the Lord. So I sailed in, and I saw my wife. She was a little on the beach, and I see her with her hand up in the air like this, her finger, and I could see her mouth is moving. Don't ever do that again. Okay. Do you know we are in a world where there's a lot of trouble on the outside and a lot on the inside? But there's a day coming when we're going to go to heaven, and it's going to be different because of what is on our forehead. Look at the verse with me, verse 3. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And I'd like to say, a Lamb of God and the throne of God will be on the earth, and his servants shall serve him, and there will be no more curse. Hallelujah. Have you tasted it? Do you realize what that will be one day? No more death, no more sin, no more lying, no more betrayal, nothing lost. There'll be no fear. There'll be the glory of God and the wisdom of God and the mind of God. The day is coming. Look at verse 4. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. The name of God. That's important. What's the name of God? The name of God. There are many names of God. Yahweh, Nisi, Yahweh, Jireh, Ropika, Yahweh, the banner, God, the flag, God, the way, God, the redeemer, God, the savior, God, the creator, God, the judge. There are many names of God in the Bible. And his name is his nature and character. There is one part about God and his nature that kind of eludes us because of the fall. And because of what is on our forehead by nature. By nature, we have like our self-life on our forehead, in our mind, our sin, our life, me, myself. Usually that's how we live. My name is under my forehead. Thomas, my name is there. But there's a day coming when God's name is on our forehead. And we want to speak about that this morning for a few minutes. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 28. And we see this word forehead in this verse with the priest, the high priest, Aaron, in chapter 28 and verse 36. You shall make a plate of pure gold, engrave upon it the engravings, holiness to the Lord. I want to draw a picture of that. There's a plate. It's also called a mitre, spelled this way. And on the plate is holiness to the Lord. Maybe we could say it's a piece of jewelry. If you can visualize a gold plate on the forehead, and engraved there are these words, holiness to the Lord. And this priest, his name is Aaron, and he has his clothes, and his clothes are very important in his ministry. It says here, verse 37, you shall put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre. Upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be, and it shall be upon Aaron's forehead. It shall be upon Aaron's forehead. Yeah. I wonder what it means. On Aaron's forehead. You see, when I'm born, my first birth, my natural birth, you know, the world kind of puts something on your forehead, like identifies you, your schooling, your parents, your experiences. When we are born the first time, our sin is kind of like on our forehead. Our sense of identity, our guilt, our failure, our disappointments, maybe what people say to us and what people think about us, it actually may be humanly a good thing, but there's something missing because it's not holy. It's human. It's natural. But because of the new birth, you are born of the Spirit, and Christ has taken the old man and crucified him. And when Christ was raised, you were raised with him, and you were made new. And the clothes, you know how it is with clothes and people. You know, let's talk about that for a minute. Clothes and people. Have you ever noticed how much clothes mean to people? Like they do. I mean, some people more than others. But they go to stores, they buy clothes, they buy the latest, the newest, the nice thing. That thing they clothes. Maybe another little boy might want to wear a football uniform, a fireman uniform, a policeman uniform. Maybe a child would like to put on a costume and be a king or an admiral on a ship. You know, children do this and adults do it too. And this priest is to be clothed a certain way, but it's not a game. It's God saying, I have made you different, and you will come before me dressed and smelling a certain way. The fragrance that the priest had is explained in Exodus chapter 30. And the fragrant is a recipe concocted of the spices in chapter 30, verse 34, 35. It's a whole concoction of special spices, and it says that nobody is ever to make anything like it, to smell like this. They are not to, verse 38. Maybe we could put that up on the screen. Exodus 30. Exodus 30, verse 38. Look at that, okay? He gives a recipe. Whoever shall make like unto that, to smell like that, shall be cut off from his people. But the meaning is, this priest was to be unique and anointed with this smell, and he is to minister, and nobody can copy it. Nobody can copy that. It's unique. This means that when you are born again, you have a new life, and there's nothing like it. You can't copy it. I can imagine somebody meeting a group of born-again believers that are living in the Spirit of God and the ministry of God, and somebody say, I'd like to be like them. And they make an effort to copy it, but they can't. It can't be copied. It has to be born in you. Christ born in us. And it's unique. In the Scripture it says, put off the old man and be clothed with humility. Put on the new man and be clothed, these are my words, as the priest in the Old Testament had a fragrance and a ministry and something on his forehead that made him a holy minister unto God. And you have that. Oh, I could say that all the rest of the morning, and that's a good message. You have that. You have that. You have that. It's in your forehead. You have a capacity to think with God. You have a capacity to have a new way of thinking. You and I have it. It's born in us, being born again, not of the flesh, but being born of the Spirit, not of man and the will of man, but we are born of the will of God, that God so loved us that he sent Christ so that Christ would be born in us and we would have a ministry. And by the way, the forehead and what is going on in our mind is different from what is happening in the mind of the natural man. His mind doesn't have a clue as to what it is that we have in the mind. We have, 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. All right, let's go a little bit more. We're not there yet. You're with me, though. Thank you, Lord. You are awesome. Here we are. Did we get it? Didn't we get it? Did we read? Yeah, we got it all. Did we get it all? Mm-hmm. Can you go to 28:38? It shall be upon Aaron's forehead, and Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in their holy gifts. And it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. He is saying this man will have some, like we could say, a uniform. I have a uniform on, and I love those colors in the Old Testament for the priests and his ministry. He had like royal blue, scarlet. He had gold trim. He had like a turban, and he had a gold plate here. And he's like very handsome, dressed and decked out. Well, we are not caring about what we are looking physically. We are caring about how God allows us to approach him. And we are able to approach God because of our new birth. And we have power with God. But go to the king, the story of King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 26. I hope you are with me. This is going to get good. It's good. You're going to say, what's that got to do with me? We're getting there. You're okay. You're okay. Not. Look at 2 Chronicles 26, please. The This is about a king, a good one. His name was Uzziah. He was good 99% of the time, or a long time, his whole life. But he messed up at the end. Turn to your neighbor and just say, are you going to mess up at the end? You're doing pretty good right now, but are you going to mess up at the end? Hey, Coop, you going to mess up at the end? Hey, no. How about you guys? You going to mess up at the end? Hey, I'm not sure, but they said no. That sounds like Peter, doesn't it? I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Oh, really? Okay. The answer to that question is, I don't know, actually. I don't plan on it. I make every effort to be here. I make every effort to be available and to walk in this unique life. But it happens to people. Look at Uzziah is doing really good, and then he becomes strong. Verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. When did it happen? When he was strong. Yeah. Do you think success might be a problem for people? Are you happy that you failed a lot? You think success can be a problem? It is. You might say, you know, people, that, you know, the thing is to succeed. Well, it may be, but actually failure can be good for us, because now we need God. And this king, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. And what did he say in his heart when his heart was lifted up? Kind of, we don't know, but make it up. I mean, you know, what do you think he said? His heart is lifted up, and what do you think he said to himself? I got this. I can do whatever. I'm okay. I'm on good ground. I'm standing. It's obvious how great I am. It's obvious what I'm able to do. Obvious, I got this covered. It's obvious. When his heart was lifted up, that's when that pride came in. And it led to his destruction. What does it say in the Proverbs? Pride comes before a fall. By humility are riches, wealth, and honor. But sometimes success is just the beginning of the fall. Can you believe it? It happens. Look at these people that have all the money in the world, and they have a reputation, everything, and they do ridiculous things. Go with a prostitute or something. How could you, what are you thinking? Well, you can't control the human heart if over your forehead is sinner, me, myself, and I, shame and guilt and fear, me, myself, here I am. I need something else over my forehead. I need something else over my forehead. Look at what happened to this king with me, please. It says, he went into the temple to burn incense in verse 16. The priests went in after him in verse 17. They said, you cannot do this. Verse 18, you have to leave. You are not of the Levite tribe. You are of the tribe of Judah. You have no right to be in the temple burning incense. And the king is proud and arrogant. Proud and arrogant. I can do whatever. And then what happened? Everybody put your hand on your forehead and feel for bumps. We have a joke in Bible school that I tell. I was preaching a class about deception, and it got very serious. It was a great class, and I had all these precious Bible college students, maybe 30 of them in the class, and I taught about deception, and it was really coming through. And they're all humble, and they're listening and serious and listening to the message. And I said, the way you know if you are deceived or not is that there's two little bumps that come on your forehead. And some of the students were like, and then they realize I'm like, I'm joking, and they go like this. Look at what happened to him. It says in verse 19, Uzziah was wroth, had a censer in his hand to burn incense. While he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead. Okay. What happened? His pride. He's now angry with the priests. As he was angry with the priests, leprosy. Leprosy represents sin, defilement, contamination. It's in our Bible, contagious. It's a neurological disorder, a disease. It's very serious. And we read about it and know about it. And this leprosy represents sin. And it came where? His forehead. It's already there. I read this piece from Martin Luther. He was a Catholic monk. And when he was serving as a monk in the Catholic Church, he said that I did not love God. I hated the righteous God who punishes sinners and secretly, if not blasphemously, certainly murmuring greatly, I was angry with God. Not knowing God is a kind and willing Father, a God who brings us close. I didn't know him that way. But I saw him, Luther found he could not love him. He and his fellow monks transferred their affections to Mary and various other saints. It was to them they would love, and to them they would pray. I found that interesting. If God is not a loving Father, I have the wrong concept of God. And therefore, I will believe in God, but who will I pray to? Maybe the saints, because they are understanding me, because they are maybe kind and broken and gracious and humble. I could pray to the saints who pray to God. Why? Because I have the wrong concept of God. I would not pray to saints if I can pray to God. Why would I be looking to a saint if I have Jesus Christ, God, humble? There he is. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I came to show you the Father. If you see me, you see the Father. John 14. I am humble. I am caring. I am broken. I am here for you. I draw close to you. But this idea, he says further here, that changed for Luther when he began to see that God is a fatherly God who shares, who gives to us his righteousness, glory, and wisdom. Looking back later in life, he reflected that as a monk, he had not actually been worshiping the right God. For it is not enough, he said, to know God as the creator and judge. Only when God is known as a loving Father is he known the right way. Wow, this is good. Do you know that because of my sin, I get so guilty and I'm afraid that God would not love me and accept me? By the way, we teach eternal security here in the ministry because it is biblical. But some Christians, a lot of them, maybe half of the Christian world, does not believe in eternal security. Well, if they don't, then they don't have the same mind that we have regarding God as a loving father. How could a loving father forsake his child? How could a loving father condemn us when we have sinned and we are guilty? Wouldn't our loving father provide for us and give to us his grace, his person, his son, so that we could be secure in that love? God is our loving father. It's like the name of God, the right name of God, the name of God, the amazing God, the almighty God, the loving God, the humble God. That's our calling. That could be on our forehead. That's what I need. Go to one other place, please. Zechariah chapter 3. This is a great story here, text of scripture. Zechariah 3, to know the historical context of this chapter is important. The Jews have gone into captivity. The temple has been burnt down. The city of Jerusalem has been destroyed. The priests and people driven out of the country. They are coming back. They are coming back to Israel. And now we see this picture, chapter 3, verse 1. I guess I'm going to look at verse 1. You can talk back to me for a minute. Build me up for a minute. Tell me something. It's coming in, dribbling in. Like little sprays of mist. I'm going, I'm just fooling around. Hey, wow, this message is important. It is. Guys, what I'm about to say right now relates to that guy that I said survived an overdose. And you can be sure that as he survived the overdose, he feels lousy. And he's saying, next time I might die, what am I going to do? I got at my right hand Satan. Satan is at my right hand. I am made in the image of God. I am born again as a child of God. I am living like in a garbage heap. I am living in a dump. I have been destroyed. I am being destroyed. My addiction, my drug addiction is going to bury me. This is a perfect profile for what we're going to read. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, and it's the same high priest as Aaron, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand. To do what? Resist him. This is what it means. The guy wakes up from his overdose. He survived it. Satan is right hand. To bury him. You messed up again. You did it again. You're going to die. You're going to go to hell. I'm going to bury you. You got no rights. You're a lost person. Right over your forehead is not holiness to the Lord. Over your forehead is drug addict. That's who you are. And Satan is there to resist him day and night. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan. Even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? I'm going to see something. There's a story about John Wesley as a child. I believe did he have 18 sisters and brothers, 17? I think there's 12 children or 18 children in that family, Wesley family. 18, okay. 18 children, one mother, 18 children. It says in England, 18th century. house is on fire. Somebody runs in. Jonathan Wesley's a little baby. House is on fire. Somebody goes in and saves him. Carries him out. A little child is carried out of the burning house. And he always said, I am a brand plucked out of the fire. Okay? Just a side story. But the context isn't John Wesley, it's Jerusalem. Jerusalem was destroyed and burning by the Babylonians. But you cannot take Jerusalem away from God and his plan. I have chosen Jerusalem as a brand plucked out of the fire. But I think it also could have another meaning, and it is Joshua is also my high priest. And he's plucked out of the fire. Like us. And that guy that overdosed. I don't know about his future. I'm going to call him this week. His dad was here and told me about it this morning. And we're on him. He's not a regular member here. That's part of his problem. Part of his problem, he's not a regular member. He's not coming often. He's just in and out. And I know he hates himself for who he is. But I like to say to him today and to everybody here like him and myself too, that Satan would like to say, you don't have anything. And God rebukes Satan and says, oh no. You better go run away, Satan, because I'm coming at you. I got a man of God here. Now watch it. Verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. In the Hebrew, the word filthy is a very bad word. If you've ever been homeless or been with homeless people, sometimes they urinate themselves. Worse, they soil their clothes and they smell. Some of them. And I'm not on them as a group of people. Everyone is individual and separate, and I love them and care about them, and our people do a great job in reaching out to people. It can happen to anybody. I always say I'm one decision away from that slide that can take me out, and I end up surprised, how did I get here? So I make an effort, and that's why we're saying this today. Okay. What kind of clothes did Joshua have? Remember, in the beginning of the message, I said, like, we like to go to Walmart, or no, where there's some of this Marshalls or some store. I don't really shop so much, so I don't know those stores. And we like to go and buy something and get kind of dressed up and everything. This is the other side. This is the other side. This is a man who has defecated himself. And he's a priest. We can say he's a Christian. He's a Christian. And he's to have the dignity that God is my glory and the lifter of my head. He puts it in us, our dignity. We have his name on our forehead. But this is the other side of it. Wow. I'm sad, but I'm also happy because we have a living God who says no, no. That man is my priest. I'm not giving up on him. That man is my guy. That's the guy. Satan, keep your eye on him because he's coming at you. He has a ministry. Hey, Satan, what have you been doing? Going to and fro throughout the earth, roaming about, seeking whom I may devour. Have you considered my guy, Joshua? Yeah, he stinks. Yeah, he's filthy. Yeah, he's like trash. Yeah, he's nobody, and I'm at his right hand putting him, I'm burying that guy. What do you think of that, God? And God is saying, okay. Thank you very much. Now I could be known to be the God of all grace. Now I can show you who I am. I am a loving father. I am a father who will not forsake his children. I am a father that forgives people of their sin. I am a God that crowns them with glory and honor. I am a God that calls them by name. I am a God that puts their name in the book of life. I am a God that visits them in their night season. I am a God that gave them my son so that he could be seated up upon a rock higher than himself. I am Almighty God, and there is none like me. In your world, you bury these people, Satan. You destroy them. You shame them. You condemn them. But my world is heaven. And my world, I give them the Holy Spirit. In my world, I teach them the Word of God. In my world, I love them and love them more and build them up and encourage them. In my world, I speak comfortably to them. In my world, I am a God, not like you think I am. You don't even know who I am. I am a heavenly Father. No wonder Jesus told us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven. Our heavenly Father. That's the problem in the world. People believe in God, but they get the wrong God. They don't know this one. This is the one that loves you and will not give up on you. Look at the text then. Goes, next part is, how's it go here? Verse 4. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. Clean them up. Take those clothes and burn them in the trash. Those clothes are not anymore his. Clean him up. Wash him down. Verse 4. Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused your iniquity to pass from you. I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. I will clothe you with some clothes that you're going to just enjoy. They represent your dignity. You're going to rise up and you're going to say, God is my Father. And you're going to say, He loves me. Jesus told the parable about the prodigal son who came home. And they said, get the fatted calf and give him a coat and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. I am the heavenly Father that you don't know about. That's the problem in this world, that fallen nature of man doesn't know who God is. And the book of Isaiah, God is saying repeatedly, I think it's 20 times, who is like me? Who is like me? I know not any other. There is no God like me. Show me. And then he speaks to the idols and he says, speak. He talks to the idols like sarcastically, like, speak, say something. Show me your stuff. You are nothing. You are dust. You cannot change a human heart. You cannot change a life. At the coffee after the 9 o'clock service, one brother sat with coffee and he told me the story. He said this woman was a drug addict, and at the end, and she woke up in her vomit. She was arrested. She was in prison. They put her in her cell where it's kind of like a bathroom with a drain, and they hose, they vomit, and they hose. And she was laying there, and she's saying, you know, God, I want to die. Take me. Kill me or cure me, she said. Kill me or cure me. And she was in there for a period of time, and they let her out to go before the judge. Oh, I guess she, in the morning, she had some coffee and something to eat a little bit. And she's sitting there waiting for the crack cocaine addiction urge to happen in her body. She knew it very well. And she said, it is going to come and hit me in a half an hour. It didn't come. An hour later, it didn't come. 3 hours, the whole day, it didn't come. Wow. A couple days later, she went before the judge. She said, Judge, you won't believe this. and you do whatever you have to do, but I'm telling you, it's over. I'm done. He said, I'll let you go, but if you ever show up in my court again, I will throw everything at you. You're free. In that case, I don't like it when judges do that, by the way, but in that case, I believe that was God. And I believe that the woman had a message, and the judge believed her, and she went away free. That's grace on many levels. That's God hearing the cry of the prisoner. That's God saying, you know, I want on your forehead a ministry. I want holiness to the Lord. I want your ministry. Could you please wake up and realize that I hear your prayers. I appreciate your worship. I respond to your being. I move by your love. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Do you hear what that means? My soul blesses God. Bless the Lord, O my. What is man that you are mindful of him? Or what would it mean to you that I would have anything to give you? I have nothing to give you. But oh no, God is saying, I gave my son so you could minister to me. I gave my son so you could stand in my presence. I gave my son so you could know me, draw near to me. So that's it. Verse 5, it said, and I said, let them set a fair meter upon his head. So they set a fair meter upon his head. He clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. There he is, all cleaned up. And he's got that thing on his head. And there he is, standing there. And Satan is defeated and runs away. And he says, and that person is saying, yeah, come on. That person is saying, yeah. I got it. Yes, I got it. I hope you feel that way. I do. I hope you and I feel that way at different times in our life. Please, listen to me. You are not your defeat. You are not your sin. You are not to be buried. You're not to be living in filth. You're not to be thinking in a filthy way. You're not to be living in selfishness. You're not to base your life on yourself. You're to learn how to live before God and walk with God and have something going on that is from God and not from ourselves. It's from the Spirit of God. That is fun. Sisters and brothers, that's fun. That's the real stuff. That's the holiness of God. That's fun. That's why I come here. That's why I love hanging out with you guys. That's fun. I got everything. All of it is just too good. That's fun. Just plain straight up great rodeo stuff. I love the radio rodeo. This is God's rodeo. I mean, I love it when something's going on with some power and love and freedom. And there's something wild going on. I'm saying God is a living God, not a dull, boring, kind of empty God that condemns people and says, you know, I can't even believe it. But he's saying, no, I know who you are. But follow me. I'll lift you up. I'll take care of you. I'll show you and I'll teach you. Stop your whining. Here's a couple little shots at the end. Get your helmet on and put your seatbelt on. You know, okay, wait a minute. Hold it. That's not a good metaphor. Wait a minute. Hold it. It goes like this. Hey, stop your whining. Stop your selfish. Stop your complaining. Stop your selfish negativity. Stop your cursing and unbelief. Stop your self-introspection. Stop talking all the time about yourself. Kind of lift up your eyes and say, wait a minute. I got freedom, I've got joy, I've got praise, I've got Jesus Christ, I've got a ministry, I got love in my heart, I got a message. I got a message, yeah. I got a message. I got a message. Amen. Amen, amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Would you just pray with me, please? Thank you, Lord. Yeah, maybe somebody here is not sure of all this. We want to make you, we want to comfort you and tell you we understand. But there's one thing you have to be sure about, that the God that we're preaching about today is a real living God, and he loves you as you are this morning. And he sent Christ into the world so that there would be a gospel message and say to you, God loves you, come to him, believe in him. And if you do, you are born of the Spirit. You are born of God. You have something new going on in your life. You'll grow in it as you follow him. But the beginning, the first point, is to simply trust in Jesus Christ in your heart. Say, Jesus, I trust in you. Pray, say that prayer to him, please. Jesus, I trust in you. Anyone at all saying that prayer, raise your hand here. Anyone at all saying that prayer, Jesus, I trust in you. You are born of the Spirit if you do. Okay, we have a hand over here. God bless you. That's beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, Jesus, I trust in you. I trust in you. I trust in you. Amen. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. Anybody? Yeah. Anybody? Raise your hand. Saying yes to Jesus. Make a decision. Make a decision. When you get married, make a decision. When you go in the military, you make a decision. You go to school, you make a decision. When you become a believer, you make a decision. Say yes to Jesus. And then one other prayer. If you're a Christian and you're saying, I understand what you're saying. I've been hurt and filth. I've been put down. I've been nearly destroyed. I've been troubled. I understand that. I don't want to live in it. I want to grow beyond my sin, beyond myself. I want to grow in Jesus Christ. I want to trust you, God. Just say in your heart to the Lord, to him, yes, Lord, I want to grow in you. That's between you and God. Let's make some decisions about these things. Let's not just cruise in la-la land and go nowhere. Let's make some good, hard decision about Christ and what we believe and what we're doing about it. And come to church as a way of life, as a regular person just coming and have your own Bible and start to read it and trust God in life. He hears you and answers you. In Jesus' name, amen.